Father, once again we say thank you and we come before you. May our hearts and our minds be in tune with your Spirit at this time, Lord. May you transform us. May you change us. Lord, may all that is spoken this day be yours. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the sermon this morning is not in your bulletin, but it's Fear Not. Comes from the passage that I read there. The New King James Version, it says, do not be afraid. I like the old, the King James Version where it says, fear not. It gives a little more emphasis to that meaning. And it just sounds a little more traditional, I guess. But I was thinking about that phrase, fear not, that was spoken to Mary on that occasion that I read about. That was also spoken to Joseph in the Gospel in Matthew when he was told by the angel to fear not to take this woman, do not be afraid to take this woman as your wife. Also in the shepherds, when the shepherds were approached by the angelic chorus in the second chapter of Luke, again they were told to do not be afraid, to fear not, for I bring you good tidings. So I got to thinking about fear. What is it about fear there? And what is it that makes us afraid? What is it that we are in fear of? And I ask you that question. You think about that. What is it that you're afraid of? What is it that gives you fear? I'll tell you, there's a couple of things that I can think of. There's a lot of things I'm afraid of. But one thing that I'm afraid of, probably surprise you if you hadn't ever heard me say this before, I'm afraid of mice. I'm deathly afraid. I mean, I just have something about a little beady-eyed mouse, you know. One of them great old big rats, they don't bother me, but, you know, a little mouse about that long scooting around on the floor, I just can't handle it. If one ran out here right now, don't nobody put one out here, I'd probably leave here screaming like a little girl. So, I hope I don't see one around you. A little more serious side, something that I fear is early morning phone call in the night that wakes you up. And, you know, last year when Carrie got hurt and I got that phone call, and it wasn't the worst phone call I could ever get. But, you know, while every parent, I guess, has always dreaded the thought of getting that call, that was the night that it became real to me that it could happen to me. And there's not a night now that I don't lay down that my last thought is, Lord, please, watch over my children tonight, and I don't want to get another phone call. So there are things that all of us have fear of, and things that are real personal to us, and things that really do affect us, not just silly things like being afraid of a mouse or a spider or a snake or something like that. In our scripture, the angel tells Mary to do not be afraid. And as I said, the King James Version says it better. Fear not. Why were they afraid anyway? What was it about this situation that made them afraid? I think that Joseph and Mary and the angels were afraid because an encounter with God, a personal encounter with God, a direct meeting with the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, it's kind of a scary thing. I can't say that I've had that kind of a meeting. I have met the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt, but it hasn't been that verbal and that vocal and that out front and right in your face kind of meeting. It'd be a scary thing, and it's been scary enough the times that I know that I've encountered Christ. They've been scary enough, so I can't imagine the angel standing up and speaking to me how that would be. It's not the first time in the Scripture that we see fear present in someone who has encountered the Lord God. Many times throughout the Scriptures, from the very beginning, an encounter with God meant that there was some fear involved. When humans have encountered God, fear is often the result. It's been that way from the very start. The four instances I want to just look at briefly this morning, where we find an encounter with God and the fear that was present, and what can we learn from that? First of all, we find fear in the very beginning in Genesis. You remember Adam and Eve and their disobedience towards God and what happened after that. Adam and Eve were in the garden hiding once God came and walked among them and to talk with them and to visit with them. They were hiding because they were afraid. After disobeying God, their encounter with the righteous God simply illuminated what they had done wrong, illuminated their sins. Folks, I tell you what, when you do encounter the risen Christ, the Lord God, it just magnifies, it illuminates the things that fall short in our life. It's the thing that begins our turn and our ability to repent and to ask for forgiveness. We have to recognize that we stand in need of forgiveness, that we are sinners. The encounter with the risen Christ makes you recognize that. I can remember when living outside of God's will, when I was living my life outside of God's will, the last thing I wanted was to be around other Christians. The last thing I wanted to do was to go to church, because when I did and was around those things and those people, it just made me realize how far short I was falling, how far I had allowed my life to get away from God. I didn't want to hear it, didn't want to see it. An experience with God brings to our attention the necessary fact that we stand in need of forgiveness. We stand in need of repentance. In the story with Moses, we find in the burning bush, with Moses and the burning bush experience, that in this encounter with God, he was afraid. He was given an unbelievably difficult task to carry out. Folks, when the Lord comes to us, sometimes He gives us difficult things to do. He gives us puts difficult things on our heart to do. And with Moses, that was the case. He was telling Moses to go back to Egypt to lead this bunch of ragtag, hard-headed people, to organize them and to get them together as a one nation, and to defy the mightiest power on the face of the earth in the Egyptian Pharaoh and his armies, and to march them out of Egypt as a free nation. Well, that's kind of a hard thing to do. You see, Pharaoh's entire wealth and prosperity was tied up in the slave labor of these hundreds of thousands of Jewish men and women who were free labor and just there for the taking. God gave Moses an unbelievably difficult task. An experience with God can lead to a calling that we're not looking for and not wanting. But what He tells Moses and what He gives Moses over the course of time, there from the beginning and through the course of time, is the assurance that He will not give him anything to do that he can't do, or that He will not give him anything to do that He won't provide him with what's needed to accomplish that given task. Folks, we can be sure that when we encounter the living God, that He is going to ask of us strange things. He's going to ask of us difficult tasks. He's going to ask for us to make commitment to be in His house of worship. Where He's going to ask for us to make commitments to tithe of our talents and our gifts and our treasures. He's going to ask of us to give not just a lip service to Him, but to give Him our hearts and to love Him with everything that we are. Not easy task, folks. Not simple things to do. But He has given us the means by which we can do that through His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit that fell upon that first group of disciples on the day of Pentecost. Moses was given an unbelievably difficult task to do. Not one of you has any less difficult task than Moses. May not be leading hundreds of thousands of people to freedom, but it's dealing with your own heart, your own struggles, and the things that come up in your life. And it's difficult, folks. It's not easy. But God is with you, and He will give you what you need. We come to Mary and Joseph in the scripture that I read there. Mary and Joseph were afraid. They were afraid because God was asking them to believe in the absolute impossible. You know, today in our modern times, we could explain away a virgin giving birth by some radical medical procedure that could be done today. And it could happen. I know it could. But in that day and time, these people, there was no earthly way that this could possibly happen. Mary, she knew. I mean, you know, she knew she had never been with a man. She knew that she could not be having a child. Yet God was asking her to believe that. And even what's more amazing to me is that He asked Joseph to believe it as well. Now, Joseph had to take a lot of stuff on faith there to believe that this woman whom he was betrothed to, whom he was trusting to be pure and to be a virgin as was supposed to be. He was trusting that this was not just some elaborate scheme or ruse for him to take her on and continue to be her husband. He had to believe in the absolutely unbelievable, the impossible, and trust God. An angel tells Mary in that passage that to believe her, that she has found favor, that He will be with her, and that everything is possible when it comes to God. Folks, remember that the difficult, the impossible things to believe that God asks us. I mean, He's asking us to believe in this virgin birth thing even today. He's asking us to believe in this whole crazy idea that somebody who is dead, doornail dead, can rise from the grave in 3 days later and that He can ascend to heaven. It's an impossible thing for us to believe. Yet He's asking us to do that. He's telling us that He will be with us and that nothing is impossible with Him. Folks, I believe those stories. I believe they happen just the way the Bible says they happen, because I know what happened to me in my heart when I accepted Christ into my life, and I know that nothing was ever the same, that I was never the same again. Everything is possible. If God could forgive me and change my heart and my life, then He can change anybody. Nothing is impossible. Finally, we find fear present in the women and the disciples at the empty tomb. Death is the great unknown for all of us. Not one of us here can talk about death with any absolute certainties about what it's like to do that. You can read the books that are out there about people who have died and gone to heaven, and you know, I'm not going to argue with a person that says that. I haven't been there. I don't know it. But it's hard to imagine anyone truly experiencing that. But death is that unknown thing. And what's the greatest fear in life for people is the fear of the unknown. Death is that greatest fear that we all experience. And when the disciples and the women went to the empty tomb and it wasn't as they expected, Jesus' body was not there, they couldn't understand, because they were encountering death and seeing something that had never happened before. An experience with God assures us that even in the face of death, we can be confident, because Jesus has defeated death. Death no longer carries the sting that it had. It no longer has the sting for those who have put their faith and their hope in Christ. Jesus met death and He defeated it for us. It may still be an unknown for us, but we know that Jesus defeated it. And we have nothing to fear any longer, because He has won the battle. If you're afraid today, I invite you to take to heart the words of the song that the choir is going to now sing from our cantata. Fear not.